Blog Talk Radio.
That is my cue, everybody, sweeping those streets I used to roam. This is Greg Masters. Welcome to This Week in Health Innovation on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your co-host, producer of the show, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner and co-conspirator, Dr. Pat Salber. Pat, you with us?
I am.
Pat hails from the beautiful Marin County region up there in Northern California, and we are suffering from a long-term drought here. The weather's wonderful, but we're absolutely bone dry, and we're all praying for rain. Anyway, this kicks off our first in a series, which we call and initiated last year, called the Countdown to Hymns, which is going to convene shortly next month in February, from the 22nd through the 27th of February. And we like to profile some of the people that we know who are active in the space. And one of those players happens to be a fellow by the name of Ash Damley, who is a data scientist trained at MIT with healthcare DNA. And he's got a company called Lumiata. And you can find them on the web at lumiata.com, and similarly follow them on Twitter at the handle at Lumiata. And today we're going to hear a little bit about what Ash is up to with his impressive team at Lumiata. And leading you through that conversation will be my partner, Pat Salper. So with that as a quick overview, Pat, let us help us get to know Ash Damley.
Great. So this is really fun, Ash, because I'm trying to remember when we had our first conversation. I think it was pretty close to the beginning of the work that you've been doing when your company was called MedGull. And I have to tell you that I was very fond of that name, and I'm just a little bit sad that you've changed it to Lumiata, although it's a perfectly fine name. So I thought we would start off by having you tell us a little bit about what are you up to with this company? What is your core product? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Definitely, and you know, the name, I too am very fond of the name as well, and have received similar comments from many of folks. So definitely, it will always be there in the heart as we move forward. When we think about our overall goals of what we're trying to achieve, if you think of people like Google, who changed the way we access information, or Amazon, which has changed the way we shop, or Facebook, which has changed the way we connect, you know, what I think about ourselves is we hope to change the way we care for each other. In effect, how can we improve the way we care for each other? That's really, in some senses, our goal, or how we wish to be impactful to the world. And in the long run, how it is we can help people optimize their health so that every day they're living to the best they possibly can, so they're really getting the best possible health across the board. And in the shorter term, you know, how is it we can help improve and make sure every single care interaction someone has, either between themselves or acutely or chronically, is powered by the best of medical science, that they're getting the best possible care at that moment in time for them in a way that's truly personalized. And so that, therefore, you know, overall, they can live a happy, healthy life.
So here I need you to explain this, because I want to get my care from my doctor, and you're providing, you know, something that's technical. How do those two pieces fit together? How do you see the product that is Lumiata actually getting into the exam room, or does it need to get into the exam room?
Well, I mean, the answer is it should. Our hope is it to be present there in the exam room, but also present outside the exam room. Fundamentally, whenever a care interaction is occurring, whenever we are engaging in health in terms of between any person and a screen, or any person and you, the patient, how is it we can make sure that the best of medical science is being applied? such as given your background, given your genetics, given the sensor readings that we have from you, given your previous conditions, given the locality where you are, given, you know, a numerous number of different facts, how is it we can synthesize the best of medical science that makes sense at that moment and make that available to that person providing that care in a way that's intuitive, in a way that's simple, in a way that basically, you know, directly connects within that workflow.
And so maybe we better back up a little bit and have you describe to us, you know, exactly what is the Lumiata technology? How did you build it? And how does it actually work?
So at a very simple level, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make medical science computable so that it can be applied to data. You know, we noticed about 4 or 5 years ago, really, that the datafication of health has really started. So we saw EHR data starting to come online. We see sensor data coming online. We see genetics. We see social media and other factors are coming online. And it's wonderful that we're generating and capturing all those data. But unless we can make sense of it all the way down to the individual level, it's not that helpful. Unless I can help it improve your care, your health, it's not impactful. And so we had this crazy notion that there's these folks in white coats that have been working for a long time on this thing called medical science, and that may be the key to actually being helping us understand health data, as opposed to a variety of other analytical solutions, which sort of are de novo of any medical science being injected within that analysis. Our fundamental thought is that medical science is key to understanding how to connect the dots. Such as that if I know that the serum creatinine is elevating and you're diabetic, I know that I should be looking at potential chronic kidney disease, right? Because I understand what things are being indicated by that, by understanding the pathophysiology, by understanding the behavioral science. But what we've been trying to do is how do you make that computable? How do you make that computable across ages, across genders, across lifestyles, to be able to take in all these different factors so that basically we can now apply that to your data in real time? So what we have worked on is what we, by leveraging what in data science terminology is called graph analytics and graphs, which is a little bit different than charts, et cetera, but rather looking at nodes, edges, vertices, or more importantly, how things connect. We say, how do we transform medical science into this computable format so that it can therefore be applied to data, so that therefore now what was once almost a bag of words, one may say, which is, you know, I'm not able to understand anything, suddenly becomes the sentences and paragraphs so that we can actually understand what is that patient's story and therefore project out from that patient's story what's going on right now in terms of now casting, near casting in terms of what's going on in the very short term, and then forecasting what's going on in the long term. And then once again, leveraging medical science to help inform us as to what are the best options to identify to provide care for that person so you're minimizing the risk and really improving the outcomes.
I'm still digging into exactly what Lumiata is. So tell me what the inputs are. So you talk a lot about having my personal data, and I'm assuming you're getting that perhaps from me, perhaps from a PHR, perhaps from an EHR. But what about the medical science? What are those inputs? And are you also doing what some of these other big data companies are doing, which is to start to try and put inputs in about, I don't know, the weather and the wind and, you know, the humidity and all that other kind of stuff. Tell us, if you can, if you're able to, without, you know, disclosing too much, what are the inputs that help you build these analytic tools?
No, I think it's very important. So first of all, what we have done is taking all the publicly available data sets from data from CDC, NIH, WHO. We've taken data from things like PubMed articles. We've taken data from textbooks. We've taken data from protocols that are publicly available and really synthesized all of them. So basically smashing together these hundreds and thousands of different health data sets together and combining that into that graph, as we talked about, which is that computational version of medical science. And in addition to that, what we are looking at is, now, how does the weather play into things? These are things we don't know. I mean, one of the questions I ask or, you know, we're looking and excited to start looking at is, you know, when it's cold outside or the temperature has changed from being warm to cold in the last day, is there an increased likelihood for a person having an MI? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it would be very fascinating to start understanding how these social factors involve, how these environmental factors weigh in, and start understanding that. Though that is, in some senses, new science.
Mm-hmm.
But we are interested in how both the new science, as well as our known science, both can be combined and utilized to understand what's going on at that individual level. And so the inputs that we have are EHR data, sensor data, which could be, you know, your Fitbits, your Withings, your, who knows, the iWatch, all the way to things such as the weather, such as locality, such as if you're, you may have very similar presenting symptoms, but in the Northeast you may think of Lyme, Southwest you may think of coccidioidomycosis, or versus something else in India, right? And so it's an issue of geography plays an important account. Environmental factors such as pollution levels have an account, right? Such as, you know, basically environmental-induced asthma. As we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of things in just like Delhi or, you know, Beijing, which we've seen with the recent, like, you know, level of smog. So we're trying to take all these different factors into account so that when we are analyzing a patient via a computational format, we are able to truly understand what is going on. And you as a physician do this all the time. You will know that today is this overall high pollen count environment, you know, time frame. You will, take into account the person's background. You'll take into account overall what you know otherwise. You will synthesize all these pieces of information when you are looking at that patient, trying to understand what's going on now in the long term and what to do about it. And so to, you know, try to, in effect, capture that brilliance of that physician, which, you know, every day we are always amazed at the capabilities of a physician in the ability to synthesize these huge numbers of inputs and data points. In some ways trying to capture that, but then to be able to make that scalable, leveraging the power of big data and big data analytics. So how is it we can get the best of our clinicians to be available to everybody so that basically everyone can get the best care possible?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It sounds like what you're saying is that this could be a support tool that could help take physicians, basically give them the opportunity to have the same knowledge as the best of a clinician, and then even go beyond that, because I think you mentioned coccidioidomycosis, which is a fungal infection that occurs in a lot of places, but in Southern California in particular. And I remember when I was a resident, there was a huge windstorm in Southern California, and sometime after that, we had an epidemic of cocci, which is short for coccidioidomycosis. And if a doctor knew about cocci, had gotten trained, you know, in that particular infection, they may have captured it. But that isn't necessarily the case for all docs. But it sounds like Lumiata could be a tool that could say, hey, by the way, you know, particularly if I had a GPS embedded in me, did you know that Pat was driving through Southern California on such and such a date when the wind was blowing? You better test her for cocci. Is that the kind of support we're talking about here?
Yes, but what I would say, actually, in some senses, our target market is, in some senses, also all the rest of the people in the care providers, the nurse practitioners, the PAs, the nurses, as well as the individuals themselves. The question is, how can we empower all of them to get that, you know, extraordinary clinical insight that clinicians have, but now start making that available to others so that they can be more productive in care, so that we can really also optimize the physician time. Because the one thing that we believe to be the most precious thing in the overall healthcare industry is a physician's time. And so the question is, how can we make best use of it? But towards your other point, the answer is yes. How is it I can help people take advantage of other data points that they would otherwise not have access to, so to help synthesize that and so therefore make them aware of those possibilities so that basically truly they're able to, you know, deal with the best of information to make the right decisions.
So is it fair to say that what you're trying to do is democratize predictalytics?
Yes. By the way, I'm going to steal that phrase now.
Absolutely, you can have it.
But, you know, exactly. I mean, we're fundamentally trying to democratize medical science, right? I mean, it's something where, you know, I as an individual, as a data scientist, you know, I, or people as engineers or people as lawyers, everyone has extraordinary experience within their domains. But the funny part about health is that though it affects everybody, it's one of the domains where people actually have very little bit amount of actual personal knowledge. You know, we recently did some initial analyses of, like, what are the top 200 diagnoses that show up in an ER? And you have things like cellulitis and abscesses and a bunch of things of that nature. So The funny part is you can go to tons of people and ask them what those are, and they will have no idea what you're talking about. But it's one of the top reasons why people come into the ER. So, you know, it's kind of this whole thing of how is it we enable this power into everyone's hands? I mean, you know, cell phones have changed the world in terms of providing, democratizing communication, right? And we can't imagine a world without them. You know, we hope one day to have a world where we just can't imagine a world without Lumiat or something like it, where we're all empowered by the best of medical science every day to help us in our health.
Well, so many things to ask you about. One of them is, how are you the same or different? I've read articles where they say they're kind of comparing you to Watson. I'm also wondering, I think you're familiar with the company started by David Eddy called Archimedes, which they focused initially just on diabetes, but did a pretty cool job of grabbing all of the data related to diabetes and heart disease, kind of, you know, that whole metabolic syndrome, all the issues that are related to it, and actually put it online for a long time. I'm not sure if it's still there. It was on the American Diabetes Association site, so I could go and enter data about myself and query Archimedes and find out a more accurate estimate of my risk of cardiovascular disease. Are you like Watson? Are you like Archimedes? Or are you, you know, a little bit the same and a lot different in how?
I think a little in the same in the statement that I think we're all trying to improve care and should improve all our health. I think, however, our approach from either of those actually is very different. I'll first take Archimedes, and then I'll take Watson. Now, in terms of Archimedes, you know, they've done an extraordinary job of being able to look at a particular condition and, you know, really work through a number of potential different inputs and how that works from a complex model of the human body, and really has done some amazing work with enabling almost like in silico trials of how meds or how people may handle particular things. The difference is what we're really trying to look at is not one variable, five variables, 10 variables, but how do we deal with hundreds of variables? Because it's also the fact that, you know, a lot of people will talk about a particular diagnosis. The reality is the human body is an interconnected system. One diagnosis affects the other. So exactly how does hypertension affect your diabetes? How does diabetes affect your kidney issues? How does the kidney issues once again reinterpret back and connect to the diabetes? You know, you have this very complex set of connections, and it's also an issue of how long has something been going on. You know, if I'm first for hypertensive for 10 years and then a diabetic, or the opposite of my diabetic for 10 years and then a hypertensive, what does that exactly mean from the outlay of things and the how that predicts forward for the individual? And so as a result, the way in which we are calculating and basically breaking down medical science is actually very different from Archimedes. And as a result, the types of analyses that we're able to give is in some ways broader, right? They've done extraordinary depth on a particular disease or, you know, a couple of diseases. But as our view is, as all these things are interconnected, what you're really looking at is sort of a higher level analysis across the board of, for you, what's going on and how that's all going to be impactful and how often you want to monitor what and how close are you to goal state and, you know, really creating that clinical model of you so that we can really understand how all these things connect. And that's really where graph theory comes in and graph analytics come in. And to give a little more window in kind of what we do in some sense, is if you remember the days of AltaVista and Lycos's of the world, they would look at the world, the web, as one document, two document, the 10 millionth document as being very separate. But what, you know, Google did, what enabled that quantum leap of improvement in terms of the quality of search results is it says, well, let me look at the web. Let me look at all these links together and leverage that to really go ahead and improve the quality of that search. And we obviously all saw a dramatic improvement. And, you know, in some senses, we've taken a very similar approach but created a medical graph in which allows us to really understand how these things connect across. And so very much, much more of a Google, I would say, approach to the problem rather than just a complex mathematical model perception of problem. And it allows you to deal with a lot more fuzziness, a lot more uncertainty, a lot more variables fundamentally utilizing that approach. I was just going to jump in about Watson, but please go ahead.
As long as I'm thinking about this question, let me go ahead. So it seems to me that what you're talking about is really going to be this leap, almost a Google-type leap in healthcare where we, when I was in training, we did get trained, to look at these individual diseases, and we would talk about comorbidities, but it really wasn't the same as what you're talking about where we say we have to understand that at the end of the day, the human body, integrates everything, right? All the things that impacts it. And we've done a really good job, talk about silos, of siloing out the mind and the brain and all those things that we call psychiatry. As a matter of fact, for a long time, where I practiced at Kaiser Permanente, the psychiatrists kept a separate chart, so we didn't even know what was going on. And so you're putting it all together. But one of the things that comes to mind when I hear you talking, for example, about Archimedes, or when I think about something like Propeller Health, the former Esmopolis, which is integrating location and other factors with the use of an asthma medication, is are you, Lumiata, forming partnerships with these other organizations so that, I don't know, you could license their inputs or somehow get their inputs, or I don't know, you just got a bunch of money from COSLA, I heard, so maybe you could buy Archimedes and incorporate it into the Lumiata algorithms.
Well, you're exactly correct. I mean, we truly believe that this is an ecosystem, and our goal, our hope is to be an extraordinary partner to people within the ecosystem to really collectively deliver the value that's there. And we really are excited about people like, it's a Propeller, aka Esmopolis, and others like all your Fitbits and your Withings and other folks, as they generate extraordinary important information. But as to your point, it's when you put the pieces together that you start getting a completely clear picture of that individual. And you're exactly right. It's that issue of not looking at it in silo, but rather looking at how all these things connect is truly meaningful. Because, that's when you start getting that complete picture of that patient, and they can really start projecting forward what is potentially going on. How do I really provide them the best care or treatment possible? Because there's so many intervening connections. I could have someone in hypertension on a diuretic that's telling the potassium's off, and then I want to put an ACE inhibitor or something of that nature. So it's an issue of how do I start playing with these variables? How do I start potentially optimizing to get them at the right goal state, and it is exactly looking through that network, that graph of the human body and analyzing that. That's exactly our hope is to work with these people, and we're excited as we move forward to do so.
And before we talk about your personal journey, which we always like to include in these interviews, I do want to drill down a little bit on this mental health issue because, mental health has kind of been a stepchild in healthcare. It sits off to the side, as I mentioned. And yet more and more we realize that even if you're only looking at how well I, a patient, am able to adhere to what a doctor tells me to do, mental health clearly plays a role. But it goes way beyond that. The brain is actually, the mind is actually a part of the body. I don't know how we took it out a few years ago. Tell me what you're doing to integrate mental health.
You are so right, and it was very interesting. We recently did an analysis of basically the entire risk factor mapping, which right now for us stands, thousands of diagnoses interconnected with the hazard ratios and a variety of other factors involved. And after analyzing the graph of that, it's not surprising to you, but it was maybe surprising to me, but was the fact of how key depression and anxiety were within the entire thing. We did an analysis, you can look at a Google analysis of all this data, and what we found was that one of the key important factors, perhaps the key important factor, was actually looking at things like depression and anxiety as being extraordinary drivers throughout the entire set of how that affects us, for the rest of the different diagnoses. So to us, in some senses, mental health is a key core component of what we do. We look at, all the things from, Alzheimer's to schizophrenia to bipolar to, major depressive disorder and so on and so forth, and how they all interconnect with all the clinical factors. right? And there is these cycles, right? For example, like between depression and congestive heart failure, right? CHF, right? Both kind of dramatically impact the other, right? If I'm depressed, I have a higher likelihood of having CHF. If I have CHF, I have much higher likelihood of depression. And so as a result, we feel to be, intrinsic in the analysis, right? There's a lot of times when, you really want to have someone go through depression screening because it has this extraordinary impact upon their overall health clinically, or medically, however you want to phrase it, with the analysis. So to us, it, it becomes up front and center.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was on mute. I'm really looking forward to see how your company evolves and you continue to build out your inputs and your algorithms to provide this incredible service. And again, I mentioned that you recently got some funding from Khosla Ventures. I think it was $4 million. Am I right? And I want to congratulate you on that and congratulate you on having been able to expand your team. I understand that Will Yu, formerly with the Office of the National Coordinator, has joined your team, and you have a pretty incredible team. Any words that you want to say about that, the people who are Lumiata?
Yeah, it's all about the people, right, at the end of the day. And really, my overall focus was how do we really make sure we have the best team possible, the best clinicians, the best people from data scientists, the best people who understand care delivery. And so, and we're growing and we're looking for more. So if there are people out there listening, please do email me at ash@lumiata.com or reach me through Twitter or otherwise. We are always looking for more and more great people to join the team. And it's been great, We were blessed with the opportunity to have multiple people very excited to invest with us and join us on our vision, and we really tried to find, people who understood the potential impact or value of data, understood data science, understood the hope and dreams of really improving the health for everyone in the world. And as a result, we have an extraordinary partner with Khosla Ventures. And they've also have the, similar mentality that it's also about the team and also really about making sure you have the best people on it. And and that way they've also been an extraordinary partner, and we've been growing. And, Ravi, Cohen Reddy, our chief medical officer, a brilliant individual, was a West Wireless Fellow, been working with Eric Topol, just super smart, really understands, both the clinical side, but is also, on the opposite side, an extraordinary data scientist as well. And in some ways, I view almost all clinicians are data scientists. So it's been extraordinary to have him, and the rest of the clinical team. And it's been great.
So, Ash, I wanted to finish by just talking a little bit about your personal story. My understanding is that both your parents and your grandparents were physicians. Do I have that right?
Yep, that is very true.
And so I'm imagining that there must have been just a little bit of pressure on you to become a doctor.
Well, actually, surprisingly, the answer was no.
Oh, okay.
Though I will have to admit, both my parents assume that I should do something useful. I used to say if personality were the trait, I perhaps should have been the clinician and my father should have been the mathematician. He was one of those and is those brilliant individuals who gets into med school when he's 13, sets the records. When I was doing these math competitions back in high school, the ASME and AME, I represented well. And then you can take them home, and they're like multiple choice. And if you get like 5 or 6 out of the 45, you've done a great job. I take it home. He solves the entire like 45 like in an hour. I feel like, how can I hide him under the table so I can appear to be a genius? But I've had, had extraordinary, parents and grandparents, both my mother's side, also an extraordinary pediatrician at Kaiser, and my grandparents were both physicians as well. And the thing is, we've always talked about how it is we can truly care, how is it we can interpret and make the best decisions for people to really help them in their health. I think it's been sort of an ethos that's just been part of the family. And, you know, what I feel extraordinarily honored is the ability to potentially marry today or tomorrow with that ethos, in terms of the ability to say, how is it now that we can take that best of medical science, take the best of those clinicians, and make that available to everybody, so that we're helping not one person, not 10 people, not thousands of people, but millions and billions of people, is the opportunity now. If you think about the way the internet is, the computational power, the way we are coming from the datafication of health. And so just, you know, honored to be part of the a family with that that mm-hmm. level of care, and just excited to be in the place to potentially have that impact.
Well, that's great, Ash. And so I want to congratulate your parents and your grandparents on producing such a wonderful offspring who is making such contributions, and I think will continue to make extraordinary contributions as medicine continues to change from, you know, what it used to be, you know, interactions without much information based on compassion, to interactions now that are, you know, have a strong evidence base and are starting to incorporate so much more about the world and our environment into the kinds of decisions and recommendations that are made. So I really want to thank you, Ash, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, and you know, just from my side, you know, thanks so much for the opportunity to speak, and you know, and everybody. So thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing all of you at HIMSS. So have a great day, everybody, and hope you have a great month. Cheers.
Great, thanks. We'll see you again.
Okay, there you have it. That will be the last word, talking with Ash Damley, CEO of Lumiata. Follow them on Twitter at Lumiata and LumiaTA.com as well. And if you're at HIMSS, make a point of seeking out Ash. Hard for me to believe that with both parents and grandparents being doctors in his family lineage, that there was no pressure on him to be a doctor. But I love the idea. Just do something useful, Ash. Great talk, Pat. Thanks, Ash. This is Greg Masters winding down for This Week in Health Innovation, and we will have our second episode of the HIMSS Countdown next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Follow us then. Take care, everybody.
Cheers.